All right, you all. It is the Love Hunter, and today I got to get into it because I got a full load. I want to talk about Ahsoka Tano. I want to talk about family. I want to talk about Loki season 2, and I want to talk a little bit about Israel and Hamas. A lot of very hot topics here, and this is just me. This is how things come at me, so I'm going to share them with you with a loving perspective. And a little bit of elevated friendship. So let's get into it, y'all. I mean, we wrapped up Ahsoka Tano. Spoiler alert, hopefully you have watched all of it and have digested all of it, maybe even watched a couple of the episodes 2 and 3 times like me. As a fan of the Star Wars franchise, who, I'm going to be honest about this, in the 90s, I thought I was too big, tough, and rough, and you know, I thought I had grown out of, you know, Star Wars and all that, only to realize that, you know, everything that I had loved about those Matrix movies was stuff that the Jedi were doing. Like, for real. These movies and shows now, I should say for Disney Plus, Disney Plus has wholeheartedly kept me a Star Wars fan. As we will get into the topic of, you know, Marvel, in other episodes, I just think that Marvel set a pace that they can't keep up. So as a fan, we should not expect them to keep up this pace. We should just enjoy the movies. Star Wars, on the other hand, Dave Filoni does not miss. Dave Filoni does not miss. Give him everything. Give him the last 3 movies. All the Rey and Kylo Ren movies, give him all those. Let him retcon those. Let him redo those, because Dave Filoni does not miss. I don't know. It's like, where do I even start? I think a couple years ago, a few years ago, I was just kind of sitting around. This was right before COVID, okay? Right before COVID. And I didn't really have anything to watch. I think I watched like Game of Thrones and a few other shows. But what I'm trying to say is I had the chance to go through the complete deck, like completely go through all of the Clone Wars shows and then come into everything that exists now. So I got through all the Clone Wars and then got through, like, you know, the last season, Bad Batch, you know, Rebels. Like, that was huge. Rebels. Like, you can't watch the Ahsoka Tano show and not watch Rebels. So Rebels, The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett. Like, I got to watch all those. And as I'm watching them more and more, a little bit older, things really stick with me a little bit different as I get older. I start to see, you know, the relationships between father and son, the relationships between father and daughter, the relationships between mother and son, the relationships between mother and daughter. The way people use people for their political influence, the way people use a hired gun, the way people manipulate and seduce people into things. And as I'm watching this, it really helped, you know, create and unravel a very powerful story. So by the time we get to ending the Clone Wars show and then getting to The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker, I was hyped. Like, I was super, super hyped. Until I kept seeing what Dave Filoni had built. So I'm like, okay. This is supposed to be here and that's supposed to be there and, you know, all that. So I'm like, I'm really kind of stuck now. Because the way he's telling the story and what he's doing, to me, seems so much better than what we saw in those last three movies in terms of continuity. Like, I enjoyed the movies. I, you know, saw them as blockbusters and big summer movies, but, you know, they just didn't have that same flavor, that pizzazz, that same, they didn't hit the same as what Dave Filoni is building in all of these shows. And I'll agree with everybody on the whole Boba Fett thing. If you didn't like that Boba Fett was nice now, it's like we took the Winter Soldier out of programming and he's nice now. Can we really embrace and welcome back a character now that he's nice? I don't know. He got thrown in a pit and almost digested to his death. So, I mean, if that doesn't change, I don't know what will. I mean, he saw Mace Windu slice his dad's head off. I mean, he had been going after, you know, essentially going after the Jedi and all of them for years, for decades, probably even hunting them down. And that system that employed him and all those people were taken down right when he got thrown in there. Now, some bigger bads and some bigger bullies showed up at the time, but, you know, after that. But Ahsoka Tano, this show just really sat well with me. I really enjoyed all of it. The Purga and the whales, like the galactic whales, the space travel whales, and the Dathomir planet that's not Dathomir, that we actually get to see is, you know, the place where the Force dad, the neutral Force dad with his you know, dark side son and Force daughter, we're on that planet. Because I remember watching the episode, something told me to go watch these episodes, and I was simultaneously watching the episodes where Luke and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka get trapped on that planet in between the episodes, not knowing what was happening. Yes, the Force is strong with this one. So I'm watching the episodes where they get trapped on the Force planet inside of that cube, which teleported them to the planet. I was watching those episodes simultaneously, not knowing that that's where they were. And the owl at the end confirmed that, because that's how she used to travel. The stone Mount Rushmore that they used at the end, where Balin Skull was sitting on the arm of the Force dad, confirmed that. So maybe he'll be the Force dad. Maybe he'll take that place now, because we know that he has passed on. So it would be very fitting for him to take that role, take that place. If Anakin takes it, works as well. That works. Since the Force daughter is gone, will Anakin be the dad or the Force daughter's place? You know, and then I had, you know, a deep discussion about where the mother is. So is the Force mother around? You have the Trinity of the dad, the evil son, and or the dark side son, and the daughter, but where is the mother? So that question needs to be answered as well, because that makes that perfect box. If you think about it, it makes the four corners. They traveled through a box to get where they got, and you know, now it's four corners. So I really love this show. My hat's off to Rosario Dawson. She did such an amazing and great job, and the fight scenes got better every episode. The last scene with Morgan Elsbeth, like, just great fight scene, great, you know, blade use, the stances. I'm rusty on my stances and you know, abilities, but I really love the stances that they took. They always mean something, and they take them for a reason, just like, you know, a southpaw boxer or somebody uses Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Everybody has a stance for a reason, and I'm a little rusty on my weapons training, but I really enjoyed their stances, the pictures, the statuesque moments that they had, and I mean, that's even including Balin Skull. When Balin Skull and Ahsoka fought, you know, for that last time, it was a diversion, but classic fight scene, awesome. The one thing that did stick out to me the most about this series other than Thrawn and, you know, the Mother Talzin blade and all the connections that they made was, you know, what happens now? You know, what happens now? Do we get to see Luke again? Are we going to retcon this whole thing and continue this beautiful work? Because by the time those other movies come out, you know, Rise of the Skywalker and The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. By the time those movies come out, if Luke is old, that means that Ahsoka Tano is older, right? Because you think in Revenge of the Sith, where we're showing Padme and Anakin as parents, Luke is, I want to say, you know, to the best of my knowledge, Luke would be about in anywhere from 25 to 30, right? Which would make Ahsoka, you know, maybe like 20 years old, right? Like 10 years younger than him. So, you know, if Ahsoka is, you know, let's say 20 years older, 15 to 20 years older than Luke, that means if Luke is 60, that means Ahsoka Tano is 70, possibly 75. You know, so she's older, like Yoda old, by the time we, you know, put her up, you know, in this mix. Now, does she age slower like the Yoda race? I don't know. But the way they built it and the way it looks, it's just simply phenomenal. I can't wait to see the continuation of things. And because I am the Love Hunter, this was the one thing that I kind of take with me that actually made this show a little bit better. I wanted Bo-Katan as the, you know, right-hand Mandalorian that would be in this show. That would fit better for the fight scenes, but the ongoing relationship between Ahsoka Tano and Sabine Wren is one that I feel like we need to take special note of. Having that relationship, that mentorship with a more mature, more established woman is something that a lot of ladies need. A lot of women have it with their mom and they have that mothering role, right? Or, you know, their mom is established as mom, but when it comes to business and career and all these things that maybe outside the home that mom isn't, mom brings that other person in, or mom introduces that daughter to this career woman from, you know, whatever circles of life there are. There's a big piece in the story between Ahsoka and Sabine where we start to see that Ahsoka stopped the training and Ahsoka essentially left Sabine because of what she was becoming. What a lot of people don't realize is those breaks in training, breaks in time where we're away from each other, they can be hurtful. They, you know, they are kind of loaded, you know. They can put us through a lot. And, you know, usually it's the passing. It's when someone passes on. You know, they lose their mom too early or you know, this, that, and the third. We feel bad for, you know, the young ladies out here that lose that colossal mother figure or colossal mentor in a woman, you know, at a younger age. When you're a little bit older, it's a little bit different. When you're a little bit more established, it's a little bit different. This is a whole different ballgame. I mean, you've got empires, Sith, bounty hunters. I mean, all kinds of creatures out there. They can just, you know, body you up quick. So, you know, not having proper mentorship and leadership during that time from your Jedi master. I mean, she's not a Jedi, but still. Sabine Wren could have been one of the coldest people in this whole galaxy because she has that Mandalorian training and she has, you know, she can wield a lightsaber. So as I'm watching this story, I'm just like, wow, look at how fragile things can be when a young pupil feels like they aren't worthy of something. Or their master really doesn't care about them or love them. When that really wasn't the thing. They were just too young, maybe too aggressive, maybe too violent to continue this training. But you do have to sit around and say that. Like, you do have to let them know, hey, this is why I'm doing this. Is as I'm seeing it with our youth and our teens, you know, they'll take that void and their large dose of emotion and dump it into something. And you don't always know what that is. So thankfully, you know, Sabine was still there. She was still of the mindset where she could be trained and she could, you know, work with her mentor, Ahsoka. Because it's not always that easy, you know. And as I transition, I want to talk about family a little bit. Because the title of someone doesn't always guarantee the quality of those things. So I mentioned the term mentor, pupil, mother, father, brother, you know, son. There's these titles, and when we abuse these titles because of the title, it really exposes a lot about us. It really shows that, man, we really weren't even here to be that thing. We were here just for our own interest. And it's like ordering people around the house just because you want to be lazy versus actually teaching them, you know, values and showing them, you know, things that they can't get outside the home, and lessons that are invaluable and, you know, that will take a lifetime to learn. That's what family does and what family gives. They don't work for you. They work with you. And I had a few things happen to me over this, over this last couple weeks where I've been interacting with people and talking to people and seeing things that just, I'm like, this is not right. People are really abusing their privilege. If you're a mother, be a mother. If you're a father, be a father. If you're a son, be a son. If you're a daughter, be a daughter. But don't ever think that that gives you privilege or leverage over somebody to talk any way you want to talk. I understand there's new school. I understand there's old school. I understand certain people have, you know, issues or problems going on. You know, I understand some people may have, you know, a sickness or an illness, or they may need special help or special therapy. Like, I get that. I understand. But just taking whatever it is you're going through or what you are as the banner to approve all the ways that you do wrong, y'all, that's not right. That's how you get thrown in jail. Well, I'm old school, so I just drive the way I drive. Sir, you're going to jail. Well, I'm on medication, so I drive fast. You're going to jail. Well, I have blah, 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 and because of that, I act this way. You're still going to jail. You can keep acting out of your deficiency. You can keep acting out of your old or new school. You can keep acting out of whatever mindset you deem suitable for you to do bad things. But is that really loving and caring for yourself by doing those things? Are you really loving and caring for yourself by doing bad things and then saying it's okay because of this excuse? It doesn't look good now. It didn't look good in the past. Well, you know, these older guys, I beat my wife because she needs to listen to me. Or the woman says, well, I beat my kids or drink or do these toxic behaviors. I don't speak up because that's just what we do. Okay. I'm a sucker for a love story just like anybody. But it's not a marriage when you're just abusing each other and then taking pictures in public to make it look like you're okay. Like, till death do us part, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, yes. But who said we're just supposed to beat each other up and make each other feel bad? I understand there's the worst part and the sicker part, but bring me back to the health. That's also in there too. So we shouldn't just stay on the poor, the worse, and the sickness. The poor, the worse, and the sickness are a possible condition of the marriage. That doesn't mean it's the only condition of the marriage. I can still pick apples that are on the tree. I don't have to take what's trotted down on the ground and mushy. That's the worst poor sickness part. And if there's worms and bugs all in it, I don't have to choose that. If that's the only option, I'm hungry. Well, you got some choices to make. Do I just want to eat these fresh leaves because there's no apples? Do I want to look down and eat the apple on the ground that has junk on it? That's up to you. That's clearly up to you. But what I'm saying is, just saying, oh, well, these are tough times and this is how it is, that minute, yes. But why should you stay that way? Same thing with our era now, with what we're in. Just a little bit of common sense. Just a little bit of common sense, okay? Is it okay to take the medications, the conditions, and the old school tactics or mindset that we've set out in front of us and say that it's okay to be what I don't really want to be? I would be better if XYZ, but I'm not. So I'm seeing that as, you know, a big change, you know, over time. As I'm getting a little bit older, I'm changing my perception of people, and I see a whole lot of families just abusing each other because of their name, because of where they said, well, we're a family, we gotta come back together. Meanwhile, you're kicking them downstairs when nobody's looking. You're stealing money from them when they're not looking. You're calling them names, trash talking them, just being mean, just bitter. Then when it's time to come back together, hey, just forgive me. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Stop being so sensitive. Let's get together. Let's be a family. Why you being so uppity? Why you being so rude? Stop being such a loner. Okay. One of my favorite movies is Soul Food. And in that movie Soul Food, they go through the passing of Big Mama. And when Big Mama passes, nobody knows what to do. They can't cook, clean, right? They can't hold the family together at all like her. Because the number one thing they failed to realize was that you're not your title, you're what you're doing. So they had to bond together to do the efforts and do the things that Big Mama was doing. Instead of just letting her do all the work. And well, I'm Sporty Spice. I'm Business Spice. You know, they're all just Spice Girls. Well, I'm the smart one, so I do the books and all this. Well, I'm the sporty one, so I help everybody stay in shape. And I'm the choir director, you know, you know, secretary, organizing the books. So that's what I do. So everybody's talking about what they do while, you know, neglecting their family, neglecting what it is they need to do to remain a family. You know, they're just stuck in what they're thinking of themselves, their perspective, their mindset, and not at all looking at how they're going to help their family. So, I mean, it's okay to be like, well, I'm this one and I'm that one. But then when you see how much you're needed, you got to grow up, you got to mature. So, ooh, y'all, it's been rough. It's been rough watching this. Watching family abuse family because of where they think they're at. And it's like, no, like, you're abusing your title. You're not doing for the family like you should. You're what you're doing for the family, not necessarily your title. So let's rewind the tape and look at what you're doing to the family. If you're hurting people, you're hurting people. And that's why Loki, I'm watching Loki season 2, and I won't give away, you know, any details or any of that, but as I'm watching Loki season 2, I really am enjoying, like, what they're showing me. I've only seen a couple episodes of Doctor Who. I've only gotten through, like, the first season. But Loki is like Doctor Who with Loki in it. And it's really crazy to watch him care about people. Watch him go from being a big bad and who he was, like I was talking about family. Watch who he is going from, you know, this sinister bad guy that probably got people killed and caused a huge menace in New York and got his father killed. I mean, all those things led to the weakening of Asgard. Yeah, he got his father killed. The weakening of Asgard, bringing Hela out, like, mischief has its cost. And so, yeah, you can walk around. This was so crazy. You can walk around saying who you are. You can walk around abusing your name and your title and not realize the whole time the effects that it has on your family. And that's why this show is crazy, because I'm like, Tom Hiddleston is, he's that much of an accomplished actor where you can put him in front of a microphone, he's going to kill it. Anytime. You can put him in front of any microphone. I mean, he's just going to kill it. He's even done, like, Comic-Cons where he's been in character as Loki and silenced the whole room. They don't know where to clap, rub their hands together, start shaking and get scared. Like, he's just that dope of an actor. And so in this show, it's kind of like, are they developing his character around the actor or developing, you know, with simultaneously with the writing and the actor? Because at some point, I just feel like Loki, you know, needs to be a bad guy, but it's kind of cool seeing him do what he's doing now. He's in love with himself. He's in love with Loki. And it's like, they couldn't have picked a better way to show this, because I absolutely can't stand mirror image, like those types of things. Like whenever they do that in the movie, I'm like, oh, this is bad. For 5 seconds, it's cool. Like when you're looking in the mirror and the figure on the other side like reaches out to you and does stuff, I'm like, oh wow. But they did it in the Skywalker movie, The Rise of Skywalker. They did it in Flash. What was the Flash movie? In The Flash, they do it, and he spends the whole movie, which is why another reason why I was like, that's why I want Grant Gustin, not Ezra. Whenever they do the mirror image thing, I'm just like, oh, gross. Come on, guys. Like, he could have done better. You can't hire another actor. Like, this is just annoying. I don't know. They do it in a lot of cheesy movies, and they try to get away with it, but I'm just like, nah, man. Like, just hire somebody. Hire a no-name that looks exactly like him. Like, something. Come on, y'all. But I'm enjoying Loki season 2. I really like the writing. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's from Everything Everywhere Always. And, you know, right alongside with Michelle Yeoh. I absolutely loved him in, you know, Goonies, and he was very typecast. I feel very bad for him. You gotta walk a mile in somebody's shoes, and being Asian and being Asian American or being an Asian in America, we're starting to really get like a plethora of experience, you know, to learn and understand better, with, you know, Fresh Off the Boat and Crazy Rich Asians and, you know, movies like Turning Red. You know, you have like Goonies where you get a small glimpse. You have like Big Trouble in Little China where you actually get to meet and speak with the cast and get to know them and see different, you know, the diversity of a culture. Like, people say diversity and they just think like, oh, you know, Black or, you know, Pride or, you know, Pan-American and Asian, but like diversity, there's diversity within all communities. Like, you can go to a predominantly a one-sided culture of whatever color or culture you think you're looking at and find diversity in that. So I'm really enjoying these shows. I really enjoy it from the aspect of looking at it as a father, a son, a dad, you know, a brother. I really enjoy looking at these shows because I see the family aspect in a lot of them, you know, based on who's, you know, whose programming they're coming through. But last and not least, I do want to speak on Israel and Hamas a little bit. And I want to come at it from this way, because I love all people. I have Jewish blood in me as well, and I have Muslim friends. So I'm not looking to make any enemies with anybody. I love everybody. My life is proof of that. And if I haven't done a good enough job, I will. but come on, y'all. I don't want any celebrities speaking for me. Like none of these celebrities eat what I eat. So no, I don't want them speaking for me. I don't want to hear anything from Drake about these big topics in the news because he's Jewish. I don't want to hear anything from DJ Khaled in the news because he's Palestinian. You let them be what they gotta be. I want to hear from a professor or somebody that studies these topics day in and day out. And that's why when we were going through our, you know, issues with, you know, Black Lives Matter and the social unrest, and I was even seeing it, you know, here in the Midwest, I was really dumbfounded by who they were asking to speak for Black people. I'm like, Lil Wayne does not represent all of the Black demographics that I know. And I'm like, as much as I enjoy him as a rapper and enjoy him as a person, he's not qualified to speak on those things. Now, show me somebody that has like a class and teaches, you know, teaches a syllabus of these things. That's the person you need to talk to. I mean, I hate to say it this way, but like, if they want to invite them on Fox News or invite them on CBS or you know, any talk shows to break down their studies, their research, and who they are as a person, and why they love and gel with this topic, then no. If they're not teaching it and working in it every day, then no. Hip hop is 50 years old. You go talk to most 50-year-olds and they're going to be real with you and honest with you. But that doesn't mean they're qualified to speak on all of Israel, all of Palestine. So I think we need to do better. So if we can, let's get qualified sources in here to talk about the qualified things that we love and the super topics that we love and the things that hurt us and bother us. So, all right, you all. Love you all. Hope you love me back. You can like and love and share these messages. I'll see you soon.